Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O learned Sutta Goswami, please continue to explain such topics to us because we're all eager to hear. Besides that, topics which result in the discussion of Lord Hari should certainly be discussed in the assembly of devotees. As we've already quoted from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami, even mundane things, if dovetailed in the service of Lord Sri Krishna, are accepted as transcendental. For example, the epics or the histories of Ramayana and Mahabharata, which are specifically recommended for the less intelligent classes, women, sudras, and unworthy sons of the higher castes, are also accepted as Vedic literature because they're compiled in connection with the activities of the Lord. Mahabharata is accepted as the fifth division of the Vedas after its first four divisions, namely Sama, Yajur, Rug, and Atharva. The less intelligent do not accept Mahabharata as part of the Vedas, but great sages and authorities accept it as the fifth division of the Vedas. Bhagavad Gita is also part of the Mahabharata, and it's full of the Lord's instruction for the less intelligent class of men. Some less intelligent men say that the Bhagavad Gita is not meant for householders, but such foolish men forget that Bhagavad Gita was explained to Arjuna, a grahastha, family man, and spoken by the Lord in his role as a grahastha. So Bhagavad Gita, although containing the high philosophy of Vedic wisdom, is for the beginners in the transcendental science, and Srimad Bhagavatam is for the graduates and postgraduates in the transcendental science. Therefore, literatures like Mahabharata, the Puranas, and similar other literatures which are full of the pastimes of the Lord are all transcendental literatures, and they should be discussed with full confidence in the society of great devotees. The difficulty is that such literatures, when discussed by professional men, appear to be mundane literatures, like histories or epics, because there are so many historical facts and figures. It is said here, therefore, that such literatures should be discussed in the assembly of devotees. Unless they're discussed by devotees, such literatures cannot be relished by the higher class of men. So, the conclusion is that the Lord is not impersonal in the ultimate issue. He is the supreme person, and he has his different activities. He is the leader of all living entities, and he descends at his will and by his personal energy to reclaim the fallen souls. Thus, he plays exactly like the political, social, or religious leaders, because such roles ultimately culminate in the discussion of topics of the Lord. All such preliminary topics are also transcendental. That is the way of spiritualizing the civic activities of human society. Men have inclinations for studying history and many other mundane literatures, stories, fiction, dramas, magazines, newspapers, etc. So let them be dovetailed with the transcendental service of the Lord, and all of them will return to the topics relished by all the devotees. The propaganda that the Lord is impersonal, that he has no activity, that he's a dumb stone without any name and form, has encouraged people to become godless, faithless demons, and the more they deviate from the transcendental activities of the Lord, the more they become accustomed to mundane activities that only clear their path to hell instead of return them home back to Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam begins from the history of the Pandavas with necessary politics and social activities, and yet Srimad Bhagavatam is said to be the Paramahamsa Samhita, or the Vedic literature meant for the topmost transcendentalist. And it describes param jnanam, the highest transcendental knowledge. Pure devotees of the Lord are all paramahamsas, and they are like swans who know the art of sucking milk out of a mixture of milk and water. Footnote. Even 50 years ago, the social structure of all Indians was so arranged that they would not read any literature which was not connected with the activities of the Lord. They would not play any drama not connected with the Lord. They would not organize a fair or ceremony which was not connected with the Lord. Nor would they visit a place which was not holy and sanctified by the pastimes of the Lord. Therefore, even the common man in the village would talk about Ramayana and Mahabharata, Gita and Bhagavatam, even from his very childhood. But by the influence of the age of Kali, they have been dragged to the civilization of the dogs and hogs, laboring for bread without any sense of transcendental knowledge. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam. Vandeyaham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Stvam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschityadesha Dharine Hare Krishna, thank you so much for inviting me to be here with all of you. I'm very grateful to have this opportunity and I'd just like to ask for all the blessings of all the devotees here present and also online that I'm able to facilitate a nice discussion and understanding on this part of the Bhagavatam. So in terms of the context of this verse, this chapter of the Bhagavatam is entitled Pure Devotional Service, The Change in Heart. In the previous chapter, Sukadev Goswami answers Maharaj Parikshit as to the duty of one just about to die. In this chapter, Sukadev Goswami outlines the desires fulfilled by worshipping various demigods, Lord Vishnu and his devotees. He goes on to explain that someone who has more intelligence worships the Supreme Lord even if he's full of all material desires, has no material desires, or desires liberation. He exalts spontaneous attraction for the Lord and explains that transcendental knowledge results in suspension of the waves and whirlpools of the material modes and is self-satisfying. In this verse, the sages urge Sukta Goswami to continue describing these topics to them and that topics that result in a discussion on Lord Hari should be discussed in the Association of Devotees. So today we'll focus on why these literatures like the Ramayana, Mahabharata, Bhagavatam and the Gita have to be discussed amongst devotees. And also we'll focus on the fact that even a simple person, by understanding these literatures presented as a narration about the Lord, can know about transcendental subject matter. So in the beginning of the purport, the Ramayana and Mahabharata are also accepted as Vedic literatures because they're compiled in connection with the activities of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada explains that these literatures should be discussed with full confidence in the society of devotees and warns against hearing from professional reciters, explaining that the literatures will seem mundane. So I wanted to ask all of you, do we have a mic? Yeah, fantastic. I wanted to ask all of you, why do these literatures need to be discussed by devotees? Any thoughts, anyone?
Hare Krishna. Is it that By discussing, two things happen. One, we get different perspectives, and two, we kind of churn out, like, by forcing me to speak about it, I kind of have to understand it in a way that I can explain it to other people.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. Yeah, we learn best when we're actively recalling information. And does discussing with devotees helps unpack the nectar and study scripture from different angles of vision, which is something we're encouraged to do. Other thoughts? And why specifically these literatures need to be discussed by devotees and not by others? Any thoughts? Yes, Sankirtan Priya Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So it's important that the literatures, which are very sacred in their sense, discuss with intelligence, and also rather than being discussed amongst sort of mundane personalities, because if they may misconstrue or misunderstand and therefore potentially make offenses, to the detriment of themselves. So, of course, amongst devotees, when these discussions happen, they understand the purpose and purport behind them, and therefore are able to get the right benefit after discussing these literatures.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I don't know if everybody heard, but Sankirtan Priya Prabhu was saying that these literatures, because the devotees understand the purpose behind the literatures, they're able to get the right understanding, and there's a risk of non-devotees who are trying to understand the literatures from misunderstanding them and even potentially making offences. Any other thoughts, anyone? Go to
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
For me, I think the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee is the energy, the presence that they bring. And there's almost a faith, like a shraddha, that they bring to the scriptures. And to learn it is difficult. It's not easy, and there's a leap of faith you have to take, and you have to accept the knowledge before the knowledge becomes part of you, becomes an experience where you can then think, actually, this is true. There is reality here. And a devotee has that faith, which allows them to take that journey. Otherwise, if you don't have the faith, it's hard to embody it and hard to accept it before you can see it. And you have to accept it before you can see it, before you can experience it. I think that's, for me, the separation of a devotee and someone who's not. And a devotee is not someone who is on or off. They are in a scale. Their devotion grows as the knowledge grows within them. So they're, unripe, green at the beginning, and then become a mango full of ripe and fall off the tree later in the end, I think. That's my thoughts on why a devotee is important.
Thank you so much. That's very, very profound. So Prabhu's explaining that devotees have a certain presence and they have a certain faith and they're able to transmit that faith. And that really we have to be able to accept these transcendental literatures aren't easy to understand. We have to be able to accept them and take them within our hearts and hear them with faith. And we can hear them with faith when we hear from someone who has faith in them. Have I understood you right? Yeah. Thank you so much. Yes, Govinda Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. In the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna warns Arjuna that this should not be discussed, these topics should not be discussed to those who are not austere or not devoted and who are not engaged in devotional service, and anyone who is envious of Krishna. So we're not supposed to discuss it unless we are devotees. And as for devotees, 10th chapter, it says, Bodhayanta Parasparam, the devotees enlighten one another and they get satisfaction and bliss from doing so.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. So in the 18th chapter, Govinda Prabhu is explaining that one has to be practicing Krishna consciousness and be performing austerities to be able to understand these literatures, and that there is a risk of, did you say offences, or you said?
Krishna says that anyone who's envious
should, that was the word,
should not be discussing this.
Yeah, they shouldn't be discussed by those envious of the Supreme Lord. And he quoted a verse from the 10th canto where it explains that the devotees enlighten one another and gain great satisfaction from discussing these activities amongst themselves, that specifically, bodhayanta parasparam, they're specifically meant to be churned and discussed by the devotees. They're for the devotees. Yeah, thank you so much. Any Vaishnavis? If we can get the mic to them. To Jagat Priya Mataji, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I mean, this thought I also had.
But can you speak into the mic a bit more?
So one more thought I had was about, because it brings out Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as a person, so it takes us away from the impersonalism towards the personalism. So I think that's also a reason.
Thank you so much. So Jagat Priya Devi is saying that because Krishna is a person and it takes us to this point of understanding him as a person when it's discussed amongst devotees, whereas I think what you're saying is that there's a risk of it being understood in an impersonal way when it's discussed by those who are not devotees or who are mental speculators or mundane kind of knowledge acquiring people. Have I got you right?
Thank you. Yes, you got
it. Did you want to expand on that at all?
No, I think.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Yes, Shambhala Bhagopi.
I was just thinking, most of the points have been said, but I was also thinking that a non-devotee, a Mayavadi, if they discuss the philosophy, they're going to create lots of offences. Not only are they going to create lots of offences, but they're going to teach another person the wrong thing. So it's not really good to discuss amongst non-devotees. As in they'll pick up certain pastimes of Krishna and say, Krishna's like this, or dive into certain aspects that they want to and then not read the whole thing and then misinterpret it and then spread the wrong message, if that makes sense.
Yeah, thank you so much. So what Shambhala Bhagopi is saying is that with those who are, you know, have misconstrued preconceived ideas or they're impersonalists, they may choose to dive into certain topics of the Bhagavatam or go to very deep understandings or misconstrue the understandings and then explain that to others. So they're actually, they're not just committing offenses, they're actually saying, you know, a misconstrued, misinterpreted understanding of Krishna's pastimes, which may be very damaging for the creepers of those innocent people who are listening, you know, and actually create damage. So that's another reason why it's not to be discussed amongst those who are not actually devotees. Have I got you right? Did you want to add anything? Thank you so much. So I'm going to... I know there's one more... Go on, say your thought. I just saw your hand now, sorry. It's nice to hear everyone's thoughts on this.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So I was thinking, so devotees are those who are actually ready to make change to their life. Yeah. So it's easy to just listen, but devotees are those who actually take the knowledge and try to make change in their life to advance in a spiritual life. So it's easy to just listen from one ear and let it go from the other. So it's just like a waste of time. So someone might be listening, but if you're not actually a real devotee, who's able to like, who's open to make changes, to make advancement, it's just a waste of time for someone who's talking about it or someone who's just listening and not applying in real life.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for that point. It's very relevant that devotees are open to change. They're open to transformation. They're willing to take the information on board and actually actively try to realize it or do something with it. Otherwise, there's a risk of it going in one ear and out of the other. You hear something, you think, oh, that's nice, that's interesting, that's nice entertainment, that's curious. But there's no change in the heart, there's no transformation, there's nothing being done with that knowledge. So I've got a few points. Some of you, you've covered a lot of them, actually. But I'm just going to quickly rattle through a couple of points that I got from Scripture about why it needs to be discussed by devotees. So in the purport of the Gita 9.1, it talks about this point. The point is that it's realized knowledge. It doesn't just transmit by an exchange of information. This isn't ordinary information. It's not like learning maths or something. You know, this is realized knowledge. It's vigyan, and just giving information to somebody is not going to make it actually enter their heart or create any of the transformation that's needed. So in this purport to 9.1, it says, the messages of the Supreme Lord are full of potencies, and these potencies can be realized if topics regarding the Lord are discussed amongst devotees. This cannot be achieved by the association of mental speculators in the association of mental speculators or academic scholars, for it is realized knowledge. Recently I heard Shivaram Swami say that according to one's level of surrender, the same information will manifest differently to different people. He was explaining that transcendental knowledge is Krishna, and he'll reveal himself to the degree he sees surrender in the heart. It's actually non-different from Krishna. So he reserves the right of whether it's understood or not understood. It's not autopilot. It's not on tap. It's not instant. There's a process to understanding this knowledge. Further in that purport, it explains that devotees are constantly engaged in the Lord's service, and the Lord understands their mentality and the sincerity of that devotee, and gives them the intelligence by which to understand the science of Krishna in the association of devotees. Another point I had is that it has to be learned from a person Bhagavat and by engaging in devotional service. You've covered these in the points that you came up with. So from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 24.313, it explains that according to the Vedic injunction, yasya devi para bhaktir, yatha devi tatha guru, all Vedic literatures maintain that the Bhagavatam has to be learnt from the person Bhagavat. And to understand it, one has to engage in devotional service. One who's developed pure Krishna consciousness and has served the pure devotee and the spiritual master can understand the Bhagavatam, others cannot. That even in mundane learning, a teacher is very happy and very favorable with a student who serves him nicely. You see that even in learning anything. So what to speak of transcendental knowledge? There's a nice purport, I just noted it down this morning, a conversation Srila Prabhupada, oh actually it's a lecture on the Gita 1867 in Ahmedabad in 72 December 10th, where Srila Prabhupada says, so you want to understand Krishna, then you have to take the life of the devotee. And one who doesn't take to the life of devotee, he can't understand Krishna and Krishna philosophy. All the Bhagavad Gita, it's far, far away. My Guru Maharaj used to say, so this is Srila Prabhupada speaking, yeah? It's like licking the honey bottle. One may come to the bottle of honey, but simply by licking the bottle, what taste he will get. The honey must be opened. Then if you taste, you'll know what's honey. Similarly, I hope I can read my writing. Simply by taking Bhagavad Gita and trying to understand it by so-called scholarship is licking up the honey bottle. That's all. There will be no taste. You can go on for many millions of years licking up that bottle. You'll never understand. If you want to understand, and then he goes on to quote, he said, if you want to understand Krishna, and then he refers to Bhagavad Gita 4:34, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti tekjanam jnaninastatva darshana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So Srila Prabhupada himself is saying, you can go on for millions of years, millions of lifetimes trying to understand this, but you haven't opened the bottle because you haven't come into the association of devotees. You're not living the life. He specifically says, life of Krishna. He says, then you have to take the life of devotion. Yeah, if you want to understand Krishna. Otherwise, you can't understand him. So, there you go. And there's another nice verse in the Bhagavatam, 4:20-25, in the purport. I really like this verse. It says that a pure devotee always engages in the service of the Lord, taking shelter of his lotus feet. And therefore, he's got direct connection with the saffron mercy particles that are strewn over the lotus feet of the Lord. Although when a pure devotee speaks, the articulation of the voice may resemble the sound of the material sky, the voice is spiritually very powerful because it touches the particles of saffron dust on the lotus feet of the Lord. As soon as a living and sleeping living entity hears the powerful voice emanating from the mouth of a pure devotee, he immediately remembers his eternal relationship with the Lord, although up until that moment he had forgotten everything. So it's a very powerful verse explaining, again, why we need to learn and listen from a devotee, hear this knowledge from a devotee who's in contact with these saffron dust particles that are at the lotus feet of the Lord, that are strewn over the lotus feet of the Lord. And I think all of us have got experience of this, you know, that when you hear from someone who's senior devotee or a devotee really sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness, they can say something to you that you may have even heard before, but suddenly it has so much impact and weight. I know that whenever when I first heard Srila Prabhupada explain the Maha Mantra from the recording he made for the Happening with the Happening Records in 1966 New York, I felt like I was listening to something from another time, another place, another realm. And even now when I hear it, it still strikes me, you know. It's just such a powerful explanation. And it's not just the information. You could read the information on a page, it wouldn't carry the same feeling in the heart. And when you hear Srila Prabhupada explain it, it really sinks, it really penetrates, because he's in contact with these saffron mercy particles that are strewn over the lotus feet, because he's always serving Krishna. So, and in the purport to the verse Nashta Parishu Padrishu, which we recited in our invocation prayers from 1-18, it says that the messages of the book Bhagavat therefore have to be received from the devotee Bhagavat, and the combination of these two Bhagavats will help the neophyte devotee to make progress on and on. So that's why we really need to hear this knowledge from a devotee and by performing devotional service. And as you all said, we have to be living that life of devotion, that life of following the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Also, another point I had is that there's a synergy involved, because this is it's dynamic information. For example, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 24.312, in that verse, purport I think it is, it explains, actually, Lord Chaitanya himself said, Lord Chaitanya said this to Sanatana Goswami. He said, "Now due to your association, another meaning has awakened." This is the section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Chaitanya is giving different understandings for the Atmarama verse. It's a very famous section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he says to Sanatana Goswami, "Now due to your association, another meaning has awakened. It is due to your devotional service that these waves of meaning are arising." So the receptivity of the listener affects the speaker's ability to give information or to even come up with information. And I'm sure all of you, you know, are kind of people sharing Krishna consciousness with others. Sometimes when someone's really receptive, you'll say something, you think, "Oh, I didn't even know I knew that. You know, I don't even know how or where that information has come from." But now suddenly, Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shishi Gorni Dai Ki Jai. Now, because of their receptivity, you suddenly come up with some information. You know, that's really amazing. Another point is that shows that this is a really living, dynamic thing, is that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 24.313, Lord Shiva says, the point that this is illustrating is that more things, well, first of all, more things we said may come up than the realization of the speaker allows. So, like, that we've kind of said that, but the point is that the person who's hearing it may even have more understanding than the speaker. And the verse is, "Aham vedmi sukhoveti." So Sukadev Lord Shiva says, "I may know. Sukadev Goswami, the son of Vyasadev, may know. Vyasoveti na vetiva." And Vyasadev may know or may not know Srimad Bhagavatam. "Bhaktya Bhagavatam grayam nabudhyana chatikaya." On the whole, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the spotless Purana, can be learnt only through devotional service, not by material intelligence, speculative methods, or imaginary commentaries. So the point here is that Lord Shiva is saying, "I know, Sukadev Goswami knows, Vyasadev may or may not know." Vyasadev is the person speaking the Bhagavatam. So the point here being that even though somebody's speaking something, it may be that the realization of the person who's listening may even be further than the person who's speaking the information, because this is such a living, dynamic thing. And the other point is that both the speaker and the listener should be qualified. And I think you touched on that point when you're saying that it's easy for the information to go in one ear and out the other. So in the Bhagavatam 1.18.15, in the purport, it explains that the speaker should be Bhagavat Pradhan, have only the Lord as their object of worship, and the audience should be shushu satam, eager to hear and receptive. So when you have that combination of a speaker who has only the Lord as their object of worship and a listener who's very eager to hear and very receptive, then it's very congenial to carry on these discourses on transcendental knowledge. And lastly, another thought I had is that if there's material motivation, there's no benefit. And that's also similar to the point you were saying, that if there's no transformation of the heart that occurs, someone holds a katha, people come and listen. A katha is like an explanation from the Vedic literatures. People come and listen, but there's some material motivation on either part of the speaker or the listener, or they have some other mundane interpretation. Then people will just come, they'll listen. They carry on with the same mundane activities that may not be so conducive for spiritual life, both before and after the recitation. So there's no change. There's no transformation of the heart going on. And really, it's a waste of time, actually. Srila Prabhupada says here, professional speakers and a materially absorbed audience cannot derive real benefit from such discourses. That's my thoughts. Well, mine means from scripture, from the Vedic literature, some thoughts which substantiate many of the points that you've come up with on why this needs to be discussed in the Association of Devotees. This verse that Govinda Prabhu mentioned, Gita 10.9, Matchitak matkata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantaschamam nityam dushyanti cha ramanti cha. It's a really nice verse. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully dedicated, fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, this is something that happens 24 hours. And I was just thinking that this is what devotees do. And even for us, even if we have many other services, we can accompany them with the primary practices of hearing and chanting, which includes discussion and remembering the Lord. But that is almost like the definition of what a devotee is. That is what they do. That's their dharma or their constitutional position, is to always be thinking about, remembering and discussing and enlightening one another about Krishna and his pastimes, and deriving great satisfaction and bliss from that discussion. So now I've got another question for you guys. I hope your mic's ready. Why can anyone gain an affinity or attraction for transcendence by hearing literatures full of the pastimes of the Lord, like the Ramayana, the Mahabharata, the Bhagavatam, and the Gita? Why is it so accessible to anyone and everyone?
My first thought is that we already have an experience of spirituality. Like an onion has many layers, and if you cut off those layers, we are spirit soul, and that aspect of spirituality is existing, that experience of spirituality existing from our very beginning. So when we get in contact with the same spiritual literature or experience, which is connected to our Supreme Daddy, then we kind of get like a kick of amnesia. We're off the bed immediately. We're like, oh my God, I remember everything. So it's accessible because we've all forgotten, and we just need to remember what we've forgotten.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Please remind me of your name, your initiated name, Prabhu.
Rasaraj Krishna Das.
Rasaraj Krishna Prabhu. Thank you so much. A very, very nice, very, very nice meaning that actually we are spirit soul, like layers. If we get through these layers and layers and layers, we discover that we are spiritual. So we have a natural resonance. We have a natural affinity. We have a natural connection. We feel enlivened when we hear about the supreme transcendence, because he used the word daddy, right? He's like a dad, he's a person that we're kind of really inherently connected to, even if we've forgotten him. So, there's a natural resonance that happens. Yeah? Any other thoughts on why these narratives, why these pastimes make knowledge of transcendence so accessible to everybody? Yes? Can you speak into the mic a bit more? It's on, right? Yeah, you should speak into that's good.
Basically, the past Ramayana and Mahabharata, so the pastimes are so relevant. It's almost teaching us. It could relate to it, like how to interact with it's teaching how to be a chaste husband, wife, how to be a good friend, how to be a good brother, how to be a good sister, and like that we can relate to that. So it's very relatable, and it's also very interesting because Krishna makes it entertaining by purpose, so that we take interest, basically.
Brilliant, thank you. Did you want to say anything further? Sorry. Thank you. So yeah, Shambhala Gopi is saying that these pastimes are very relatable, they're very interesting. You know, Krishna plays as a human being, or, you know, his eternal pastimes are human-like, we should say. So, you know, we can, he shows his wonder and, you know, his amazing abilities to be a friend, to be a child, in all these different loving exchanges. He's showing his pastimes, and these pastimes are very engaging for us. So, thank you. Yeah, that's a really good point. Any other thoughts on that? Yeah, one more.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I just wanted to expand on what Prabhu Rasaraja just said, and about the father, or the parent, or the supreme daddy. And I am a father, and I want the best for my son. You know, regardless of what he does, how he behaves, how he interacts with me, I want the best for him. And I will do my best to bring that out in him. And I think the scriptures are in a way like that. They are accessible to all because that's what the Creator wants. He wants everyone to have access to it and will come out in different forms to be able to talk to that individual in the way that they can receive it. Which is why I think it's important to read the scripture the way it's written, because us as individuals, we don't have the depth and the breadth to really comprehend how it touches everyone. All we can do as individuals is serve, and in that serving, hopefully it will make that connection to people. So I just wanted to kind of highlight the parent aspect of things, you know, that actually he wants us to be with him. And we have to go on our own journey to get there, whatever, how many of our lifetimes, how many of our, you know, difficulties and challenges and joys that we have to go through. But he wants us there, he or she, you know.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you for, I think there's another devotee here who wanted to share also. So Prabhu was just saying that, you know, this parenting aspect that, you know, just like for you, Prabhu, I think you had, you who are holding the mic. Oh, okay. Prayojan Prabhu also. But the point being that, you know, the father wants the best for his children, whatever they're going through, whatever their journey, and that's there for us in the literatures, but we can access this by serving, by going on our journey, but knowing we should have that that reassurance that Krishna wants the best for us and that he will help and that he will guide us. Especially if we're discussing these literatures in the Association of Devotees, we'll be able to unpack the nectar. Thank you so much, Prayojan Prabhu.
When you asked about the pastimes of the devotees and Krishna, it occurred to me there, the attraction is the heroism of the devotees and self-sacrifice in spite of... I remember, is it this bird, Tatao? Is it Tatao? It's in the Ramayan.
Jatayu?
Jatayu, yeah. Now, that's a very wonderful thing because there was no way he could defeat the opposition. But he was an inspiration, you know, to see his heroism. And he was smashed. But he did it out of love. So that's heroism. He just wanted to overcome some impossible obstacle. But he did. Maybe, what is it? Krishna says, don't take the results of your activities. That's not your goal. But actually, the result of his activity was a tale of heroism, self-sacrifice, in spite of all obstacles. And it didn't matter whether he was defeated or not. He had to stop this evil person. You know, so it's heroism. That's the inspiration I get from pastimes that I see.
Thank you so much, Priyojan Prabhu. So just in case you didn't all hear it, he was talking about the heroism of the Lord and his devotees, and specifically talked about the pastime of Jatayu, where there was no way Jatayu could actually defeat Ravan, but he fought the last breath. He was a huge bird when Lord Ram's wife, Sita Devi, was kidnapped or usurped by the demon king Ravan. You know, Jatayu saw her being carried off, and he was a slightly older bird. I can't remember if he was actually an eagle. Does anyone remember what? Vulture, sorry, thanks for reminding me. A vulture. And he tried his utmost, and he fought with every single bit of strength he had. And he did perish, though, after seeing Lord Ram and gaining Lord Ram's blessings. But the point being that this pastime is so engaging. It's so, it speaks so much to us about the heroism of the devotees in connection to the Lord. And that's one of the reasons why these narrations are so accessible to everybody. Because of time, I would have liked to take more thoughts from all of you, but because of time, I'll go on to some points that I had on this. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport says that Krishna plays like a social, political, or religious leader, because such roles ultimately culminate in discussions of the topics of the Lord. And because of that, all the preliminary topics are also transcendental. And that's the way of spiritualizing civic activities of human society. And he discusses this point that men have inclinations for studying history and many other mundane literatures, stories, fictions, dramas, magazines, newspapers. So let them be dovetailed in the transcendental service of the Lord. And then all of them will turn to the topics relished by all the devotees. So he's re-emphasizing that, you know, even though Krishna's pastimes may have social, political, worldly aspects to them, especially in the Mahabharata, because they're connected to him, ultimately, as the leader of all entities, as a supreme person, even those things that may seem more mundane are also transcendental, because the result is transcendental. And, you know, people have an inclination to learn about politics and history and, you know, other slightly more mundane things, but then let them turn to these literatures and be engaged that way and be fully benefited by accessing the transcendence. So in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Lila, text 3, 101 to 107, in the actual verse translation, it explains that these pastimes are all meant for the deliverance of the living entities. Even wood melts by hearing such topics. On hearing about Dasharatha's lamentation after sending away his son Ram, even the Yavanas cry profusely. So even the most hard-hearted of people are softened by hearing of Lord Ram's departure. And even this slight softening of heart is a form of spiritual awakening, for it elicits emotions directed, even if unknowingly, towards the ultimate reality. So you can see how wonderful these pastimes are. And these narrations of the pastimes of the Lord in the Mahabharata, Ramayana, and Bhagavatam, how wonderful they are. And this is an excerpt from a lecture by Srila Prabhupada on this verse in LA, May 31st, 1972. So listen to Srila Prabhupada speaking. Yes, in our childhood we saw every village, every town, the transcendental knowledge. Any common man could speak about Ramayana, Mahabharata, Lord Krishna. And the system was still there are, but practically closed now, that in the evening, in the village, everyone should assemble in a place to hear messages from Mahabharata, Ramayana, especially, because these two books can be understood by the common man. Not Vedanta philosophy was discussed. So my maternal uncle's was in the suburb of Calcutta, about 10 miles from our house. So sometimes when we used to go there, so in the evening after taking their meals, by 8 o'clock, they would go to a place, assemble and hear Ramayana, Mahabharata, Bhagavat, and they should discuss while coming home, and they should go, and they would go to bed thinking that memory. So they'll sleep also Ramayana and Mahabharata. Yes, and dream also Ramayana and Mahabharata. You see, that was the system. Sadatad bhava bhavita. Bhagavad Gita 8.6. If you think of Krishna 24 hours, then you'll become fully Krishna conscious and your life is successful. Don't allow anything. This requires a little practice. Abhyasa yoga yuktena Chetasa Nanya Gamina. I should not allow my mind to go to think of any subject other than Krishna. Now we've got so many books, so whenever you find time, you must find time. There's so much time. So read all these books or chant. But when you're hungry, you take prasad. And when you're sleepy, take a nap. Not very much, just to refresh. And go on either chanting the beads or reading the books or talking about Krishna. In this way, always remain in Krishna consciousness. Satatam, oh, smartavya satatam Vishnu. Krishna consciousness means to remember Vishnu always, 24 hours, some way or other. Type for Krishna, write for Krishna. Go outside for Krishna, Sankirtan party, sell books for Krishna, bring money for Krishna, spend for Krishna. Krishna, that's all. Everything Krishna. Yeah, I'll read on a bit. This is Krishna consciousness. Satatam kirtiyanto mam yatantaschadrudavrata. Gita 9.14. In the Gita you'll find tushyanti cha ramanti cha. We require some satisfaction, some enjoyment, because that's our nature. Anandamayo bhyasat, Vedanta Sutra 1.1.12. Spirit soul. God is also blissful, and we're part and parcel of God. We're also blissful. We want simply ananda, pleasure. That's our nature, but that ananda, pleasure, you cannot enjoy independently. That is not possible. You must enjoy with Krishna. That's called Rasalila. Krishna and the gopis, they assemble together. Similarly, we are part and parcel. Just like part and parcel of big machine, they're assembled. Then it works. If the part and parcels are scattered, oh, then it has no meaning. It's simply scrap of iron. That's all. But when they're assembled together, that is meaning. Similarly, we are all part and parcel of Krishna, so we must assemble together. Central Krishna, central Krishna. So go town to town, village to village, preach this Krishna consciousness, bring them to life, so this frustration will be stopped. The leaders of the society, the politicians, they should take care where they're going. So it said, Gatha Hari, Gatho Darka Satatam Su Sadasi Dhruvam. Therefore, if we discuss this Hari Katha, we're discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, Hari Katha. So Gatha, Hari Gatha Udarka Satam Su Sadasi Dhruvam. If it's discussed amongst devotees, then one can understand. This book, Srimad Bhagavatam, has value amongst the devotees. And to others, they may purchase, they see that, what's this? Sanskrit verse, something written, scrap of paper. You see, just like this newspaper, for us, it's a scrap of paper. We don't care for it, but they keep it very carefully on their chest. Oh, this is so nice. Newspaper in the Western countries is so popular. And then he goes on to explain how, I'm sure most of you know this pastime, this story that he tells of the miners in Sheffield. A Christian preacher goes to try to explain Christianity to them. And starts telling them about Jesus Christ. And they say, what's his number? Because they haven't heard of Jesus Christ. So they think maybe he's a worker like them, because they all have numbers as miners. And the preacher says, no, he doesn't have a number. He's the Son of God. And he goes on preaching to them. And then the preacher says, starts talking about hell. And the miners ask what hell's like. And the preacher says, oh, it's very dark and very damp. And the miners, they're silent because they're working in the mines and it's very dark and damp. So the conditions they're working in sound just like hell. And then they're kind of wondering, what's the difference? But then when the priest said, well, there's no newspapers, they're like, oh, horrible, there's no newspapers. So, you know, the fact that there were no newspapers in this dark, damp place suddenly made it like something to fear. Hell was now something to fear, whereas before it was just sounded like the conditions they were working in. And then Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain that, you know, LA city is just a point in this world, and there are so many editions of these newspapers coming out every day. But can we imagine how much Krishna conscious literature we could be producing? You know, there's a whole spiritual, and there's like one little point in the material universe that's LA, and there's 2, 3, 4 editions and so many newspapers. He says there's no customer, that's the difficulty about the Bhagavatam. Otherwise, the instruction is so valuable. So much information. All fact, dhruvam. Dhruvam means fact, not fictitious, not fictitious. So there would have been many, many customers. And because there's no Krishna consciousness, there's no culture, these literatures, they're not appreciated. So, you know, Prabhupada's saying that, you know, because we don't have the culture, we could be producing so much literature, but there isn't the culture for people to actually be able to appreciate this. So I was going to ask you this, but because I've run out of time, I'm just going to explain, you know, how can we gain more affinity, or how can society gain more affinity for learning these literatures? And one point is given is by executing devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master. Then one becomes free from all attachment, attains steadiness and self-realization, and acquires a taste for hearing about the personality of Godhead. That's in the Gita 4.10 purport. And the same points echoed in the Bhagavatam 1.2.16, where it says, O twice born, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudev. And how to approach it with rapt attention. I'm sure most of you know this explanation. Does anyone want to tell me how to give it rapt attention? I'm sure you all know. You're all scholars. Anybody? No? Okay. Anyone? Yeah, go on, Govinda Prabhu. What are you saying? Where's the mic? Can we have the mic back? It's a famous verse about how to give scripture rapt attention.
There's one purport where Prabhupada said, in order to hear with rapt attention, one's mind must be pure.
Yeah.
In order for one's mind to be pure, one's habits of eating, sleeping, etc. need to be pure. Something like that.
Yep, you've got it. Absolutely. Well done. 10 out of 10. In the Bhagavatam 1.2.6... Oh, no, this is actually from 1.3.44 purport. Prabhupada explains that no one can give rapt attention who's not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who's not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who's not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. But somehow or other, if one hears with rapt attention from the right person at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Krishna in person in the pages of Bhagavatam. So, yeah, thank you for that. And just a little bit of interesting information, which we don't take as authority, but just out of interest. Harvard Business, what they think about narratives. They think that good stories do more than create a sense of connection. They build familiarity and trust and allow the listener to enter the story where they are, making them open to learning. Good stories can contain multiple meanings, so they're surprisingly economical in conveying complex ideas in graspable ways. And they're more engaging than a dry recitation of data points or discussion of abstract ideas. Another aspect of storytelling or explaining pastimes is that it works for all types of listeners. Visual learners appreciate the mental pictures storytelling evoke. Auditory learners focus on the words and the storyteller's voice. And kinesthetic learners remember the emotional connections and feelings from the story. So that's just a little bit of trivia from Harvard Business. So I'm 10 minutes over time. Apologies for the delay. But thank you so much. I will round off there. I'll just recite one verse from the Bhagavatam, 10:31:9. Tava katha mritam tapta jivanam kavibhiriditam kalma shapaham shavana mangalam shrimadatatam bhuvi krinanti ye buddhita jana. The nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations transmitted by learned sages eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly, those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent. So, I'm over time. If there's one burning question, we could take it. Otherwise, I'll round off now. Okay, everyone seems satisfied and happy. Granthiraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.